This year, the United States is on track to admit the lowest number of refugees since the Federal Refugee Resettlement Program was created in 1980. Now, Reuters is reporting that the Pentagon is worried about a particular group of refugees being kept out of the country, Iraqis who helped and supported American entities and organizations during and after the U.S. invasion and occupation. Their lives are in danger back home, yet we're seeing a dramatic decline in the number of Iraqis allowed to come over as refugees. Yegana Torbati covers immigration for Reuters, and she broke this story. She's joining us alongside Yusuf, a former Iraqi interpreter who worked with the U.S. military. Yusuf, who asked that we only use his first name, came to the United States on the special immigrant visa in 2014, and he's now waiting for approval for his family to come to the U.S. through a similar program. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yegana, let's start with you. What did you find in your reporting about how many Iraqis are being denied this refugee status, and how does that compare to previous years?
So far this fiscal year, and this year it will end at the end of September, so there's only about 5 weeks left, just 48 Iraqis have been allowed in through the special refugee program that Congress created for them back in 2008. And just to compare this with previous years, last year more than 3,000 Iraqis came in through this program. The year before it was more than 5,000, and the year before that it was more than 7,000. And so it's a really dramatic decline. It's essentially an effective halt to the program without that officially being U.S. policy.
And you reported that would-be Iraqi refugees are undergoing more intensive screening under the Trump administration. Can you explain why their associations might be causing some problems in the vetting process just by nature of the work that they did for the U.S.?
Last year, the Trump administration started requiring far more information from refugees, not just from Iraq, but from everywhere. Now, we believe that that information is being used in these special background checks. Every refugee, of course, undergoes a background check before they come into the United States. But Iraqis and refugees from 10 other countries, mostly in the Middle East and Africa, go through these extra sort of special, deeper background checks that are partly run by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. And what officials have determined, at least according to what I've been told, is that it's somewhere in this process where the FBI is involved where the delay is really happening. And what we know is that the FBI is finding far more red flags for Iraqis than they used to in the past. And what's unclear right now, and what, of course, I'm at least going to be doing more reporting on, is why exactly that may be. Have their vetting standards changed markedly? Are they being more restrictive? And these are questions that, of course, officials inside the government are also asking. And from what I'm told, the Pentagon is also trying to come up with ways to sort of resolve these questions.
The Iraqis whom this program was intended to protect and bring to the U.S. are people like Yusuf. Yusuf, what type of work did you do with the U.S. military, and for how long?
I worked as interpreter with the U.S. military back in Iraq from 2004 to late 2008 or beginning of 2009. Most of the units I worked with were active duty, so that we would go out in missions doing, you know, all the military work that's, you know, known to the people.
What kind of risk did working with the U.S. military put you and your family?
Well, I kind of started early working with the U.S. military, so there were not that many of armed groups attacking the U.S. military back then, at the beginning at least. But, you know, the more you go, the more armed group found their ways to be formed up. And they start to organize themselves, and then they wage these attacks on the American troops. And of course, interpreters, especially the local ones, were considered traitors, you know, in the eye of these armed groups that they call themselves nationalists. So yeah, we were part of the, as long as you are putting the helmet on your head, then you are a target.
Yusuf, you came in through the special immigrant visa. What was the process like to apply for that?
Well, it took me about 2 years and a half until I was approved. And that's, for me, was too long because, you know, usually you apply because you are suffering a death threat or something like that. So, you know, waiting that long puts your life and your family's life at danger.
And now you're trying to get your family here. Are you trying to get them here as refugees through a different program?
It is the direct access program. Yes, I'm trying to do so. We applied for them about a year and a half ago, I assume. And the only thing that we got is the case numbers for their cases. And that's it. We never heard anything ever since.
What family members are you trying to get here?
Mother and a couple of brothers.
Are their lives in danger back home?
I would say yes. They are suffering some of the threats, which all because of my previous work with the U.S. military.
Yagina, why is the Pentagon sounding the alarm here? What are they concerned about in terms of this decline in the number of Iraqi refugees coming into the country?
Well, we still have, the United States still has over 5,000 troops in Iraq, and the Pentagon has always felt a sense of obligation, at least that's what they've expressed, to Iraqis and Afghans in particular who have helped the United States in battle. And U.S. officials have been frustrated by the delays that Yusuf just described in getting these people here. And these delays, of course, existed during the Obama administration as well. The Obama administration was sued by refugee groups for not processing these visas faster. But we haven't seen the kind of essential halt in admissions that we're seeing now. That is a new thing. And I think the Pentagon is concerned that if the United States is seen as not standing by the people who stood by the United States in battle at great personal risk to themselves, that in future conflict, it's going to dissuade the local population from helping the United States. And even in Iraq, where we still have an active presence, it's going to dissuade people. And just another thing I would note, that this direct access program, this special refugee program for Iraqis, is open not just to those who worked for the U.S. military, but also those who worked for American contractors, American diplomats, American news media, and non-governmental organizations that are in Iraq. And these are all organizations that depend on local help and introductions and interpretation and drivers and all sorts of services. And so I think people think that, well, we left Iraq in 2011. Firstly, we went back in 2014 to help defeat ISIS. And then secondly, we have a whole large presence in Iraq and in other countries that depends on these people.
Yagina, thank you for your reporting. And Yusuf, my best wishes to you and your family.
Thank you very much.
Yagina Torbati covers immigration for Reuters, and Yusuf is a former Iraqi interpreter who worked with the U.S. military and came here on a special immigrant visa in 2014.